when I was having a dialogue or debate with a priest while I was quoting the Bible in Deuteronomy, chapter number 23, verse number 2, which says, the dash shall not enter the congregation until the 10th generation. If you want to know the exact word, I'll just give a small brief joke that when there was a party going on, everyone who wanted something on the table did some rhyming. So the Duke said, "Queen so fine, pass the wine." So one person was English, no, she's not bad, and he wanted to have some custard. So he said, "Duke the dash, pass the custard." So now you know what the word is. If you don't know, you can refer to the Bible. It is mentioned 3 times. And Salman Rushdie used that word 29 times. 29 times. Imagine. And the irony is that the British government speaks of freedom of speech. According to an article in the Daily News in London, 22nd of May, 1989, there was a big article called for ban. Ban for whom? Not for Salman Rushdie. Called for ban for Mickey, he was an actor from America. Mickey, he came and he used the four-letter word for the policies of Margaret Thatcher. I sure you don't want me to repeat that four-letter word. It is father, uncle, cousin, king. Still, if you don't know, ask the person who knows. He used that four-letter word to describe the policies of Margaret Thatcher and the MPs, the Tories of the parliament, they said, call for ban. Now, Salman Rushdie uses that same word. Same word, but makes it active. Active, adding ing, ing. Four letter, he makes it 7 letter. And in one paragraph, on page number 270, in one paragraph, he uses that word 4 times. Four letter word, ing, making the acting, describing the activities of Margaret Thatcher, and it goes down the throat of the Britishers. Why is this biasness? An American actor uses a four letter word for Margaret Thatcher's policy, you call for ban. And none of those people who supported Salman Rushdie raised their voice to support that American actor. Why? Why the double policy? Because he uses it 4 times, making it active. And if you read that book, he's used that word 52 times, one for each week, 52 times. I've read the book, therefore I'm saying. And 5 times he's used only that four-letter word. You can make a dictionary out of it. In American, in allies, all these, you can make a dictionary out of it. And he has even abused the Prime Minister, the ex-Prime Minister, who was the Prime Minister at that time. And he says that, and he calls it a nickname, like he does for all the characters. He is called the Chamcha. He topographies himself as Chamcha or as the Jibreel or Spoonu. He calls Margaret Thatcher Maggie. And what he says, torture. Not in your torture. Torture means Thatcher. He says torture and full stop. One word sentence, beautiful. I do appreciate Salman Rushdie for his pen. One word sentence, torture, full stop. Maggie the 5-letter word. I don't want to repeat it. It's a female dog. He says torture, full stop. Maggie the 5-letter word. That's right, I'm answering the question, brother. Because she said that she wants me to throw some light on the satanic verses and on the verdict of Salman Rushdie. Regarding the verdict, it remains the same as my previous answer. Regarding throwing light, I'm throwing light, brother. If you give me the permission, just a couple of more minutes. So that, how many of you out here knew all this was mentioned in the satanic verses? Oh, very good. 2, 3. So, 3. So, did you know all this was mentioned? Do you know torture referred to Thatcher? Oh, very good. We have intelligent people out here, but the masses don't know. So, Fine. Please let me answer, brother. Let me answer. I do agree that people will say that Margaret Thatcher, she's an iron lady. She won't get moved. She's very strong. I do agree. Even if you call her the pilot award, even if you call her a female dog, she won't get moved. But imagine if you go to her son, Mark Thatcher. You might have seen him on TV playing soccer, that rugby. If you go to Mark and say, "Mark, Salman Rushdie has called you an SOB, son of a pilot award," I'm sure Mark will hammer you. He will not believe in freedom of speech. If you tell Mark that Salman Rushdie has called you an SOB, son of a pilot award, he will surely hammer you. Even the British people are sensitive, but their sensitivism is, everyone has different levels of sensitivism. Some people may be sensitive in particular words. Like, for example, if you go on the road, brother, people on the roadside, they keep on abusing each other. Maa ke upar, bhin ke upar, the same word which Salman Rushdie has used. Imagine he uses Hindi word. Bain and Follett Award. So, if those people, if you abuse that fire, he's not sensitive at all, because he's used to abuse. But if you call him in a very plain language, which is less insulting than the abuse, and tell that maybe your mother is a prostitute, even that roadside man will feel bad. He will feel hurt. Every man is sensitive depending upon his individual field. And the British government, which calls for freedom of speech, it does not believe in freedom of speech. Because when Sheikh Jizad said that give me 5 minutes on the BBC to quote only the verses which Salman Rushdie has said, and I will give £50,000 to any charitable organization, they refused. ABC, American Broadcasting Corporation, they refused. He said, I will pay $50,000 only to quote. You believe in freedom of speech? I will quote Salman Rushdie's book, give me $50,000. They didn't agree. This is as far as freedom of speech goes. And regarding the verdict, sister, the answer is same as I gave for Taslima Nasreen.
I'd like to say something, and very briefly. As I said earlier, the fatwa of Khomeini is inexcusable. If it could be revoked, or rather it could be revoked, as that recent news item said, about 5 years later now, since this thing, it could have been revoked 5 weeks later. But it's not been revoked because of political reasons. That's the first thing. As I keep on insisting, in many of these religious quarrels, look for the political angle in it. That's the first. Secondly, I don't think that Rushdie himself is entirely to be excused either. He has deliberately adopted what I would call a very Western arrogant position. Now, if you believe in freedom of speech without responsibilities, be ready to take the reaction from wherever. So instead of going underground, I would have said, with all your money, stand up and be counted. If I abuse you in public, I should be prepared for a kind of reaction from you and not go underground. The very government that he abused earlier is the one that is protecting him. I think there's a great anomaly over here, but realize that there's no logic in these matters. Realize, for one thing, that there is, in the Anglo-Saxon world particularly, a growing feeling that militant Islam, in the Islamic fundamentalism, has now taken the place as enemy number one after the death of communism. Communism is no longer now any kind of military threat. Instead, it is now militant Islam. You know all these things from the Gulf War, you know, Iran, and so on and so forth. And that's why, as I said a little earlier, you must understand that a lot of fundamentalism comes from, firstly, a certain vision of society which is not shared by a Western secular ethos. Secondly, that a lot of countries in West Asia particularly are reacting to a lot of Western arrogance and reacting to a post-colonial epoch, whereas they would like to stand on their feet as independent nations and realize that they can't. Even the rich Arab countries cannot. You know that, for the matter of fact. So understand that a lot of these gut reactions to Rushdie as a symbol, or George Bush as another symbol, or Israel as another symbol, all these things come in a vast and very complicated global scenario in which now Islamic fundamentalism is the latest whipping boy, which earlier, for example, it would have been Russia, the Soviet bloc, and so on. Enough.
This is positively the last question. Yeah.
Thank you. I entirely agree with you. And the point is just this, that if somebody is to be revered, then he has to be put beyond criticism. I don't think we live in a society in which that principle would work. I think everything needs criticism. Everything can be criticized. Why not? Why not? Whether it is religion, whether it's a religious person, whether it's king or whether it's, those persons in power, why not? That is freedom of expression.
So if you can allow me to ask this question, Mr. Chairman, please. Chairman, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I hope you are a journalist. Then this question will be to you.
Okay.
So as Brother Ashok Sahni said, that it is journalists who have put the life of Taslima Nasreen in problem because of irresponsible behavior. And we see that this journalist, they often do irresponsible things. So what is the punishment to such irresponsible journalists in your society of journalists? Because of their irresponsibility, many problems are created in this country. So what punishment is there for those type of people in your society of journalists?
I am a journalist by profession, but here I am a chairman. And chairman always says, no comment. So that is my reply. Anyone, is there to be a vote of thanks or what is the procedure now? I think we had had, it's already 6:15 and... Pardon? What about the one last question on karma, because I think now being Indians, we are so fond of karma, it's better to end with yes, last positively.
पहला निवेदन यह है कि हिंदू धर्म शास्त्रों में दलित नाम का कोई शब्द नहीं है. ये अंग्रेजों का दिया हुआ डिप्रेस्ड का अनुवाद के रूप में चुन पड़ा है. हमारे यहाँ भाइयों के समान एक बड़ा भाई एक छोटा भाई, अग्रज और अंत्यज, ये शब्द हमारे यहाँ चल रहे हैं. अब रही बात ये कि उनका क्या कर्म है, माने आप अगर ये जानना चाहें ब्राह्मणों क्षत्रियों वैश्यों शूद्रों इन सबके अलग अलग क्या कर्म होते हैं, तो मैं संक्षेप में इतना ही कहूंगा कि कुछ धर्म या कुछ कर्म ऐसे हैं जो मानव मात्र के लिए समान है. धृति क्षमा दमह अस्त्ययम शौचम इंद्रिय निग्रह, इस प्रकार के मनु के बटलाए हुए कुछ धर्म ऐसे मानव मात्र के समान हैं. फिर कुछ कर्म ऐसे होते हैं जो एक एक व्यक्ति के लिए अलग अलग हो सकते हैं. वो एक एक व्यक्ति के लिए जो अलग अलग कर्म हो सकते हैं, उनको कृपा करके आप इस दृष्टि से नहीं देखें कि ये छोटा है या ये बड़ा है, ये अच्छा है या ये बुरा है, ये सम्मानजनक है या अपमानजनक है. समाज के धारण के सभी कर्म परम आवश्यक होते हैं. समाज के धारण से कोई कर्म ऐसा नहीं है जो अनावश्यक हो या जिसको हम छोटा या अपमानजनक समझें. एक बात मैं और कहना चाहूंगा, मैं एक वैद्य हूँ, किसी भी हॉस्पिटल में किसी भी दवाखाने में, मैं केवल दो तीन मिनट लूंगा, किसी भी हॉस्पिटल में या किसी भी दवाखाने में ये व्यवस्था नहीं होती कि पेशेंट जाए और अपने आप दवा चुन ले. सब जगह यह होता है कि पेशेंट को जाकर किसी डॉक्टर के सामने अपने को पेश करना पड़ता है, डॉक्टर उसका निदान करता है और वो उसको बतलाता है कि तुम इस दवा से अच्छे होगे, ये दवा तुम लो. हिंदू धर्म में ठीक यही व्यवस्था है. हमारे यहाँ जो आप अपने मन से जो करना चाहें वो आप कर लें, वो आपके लिए धर्म हो जाएगा और उसका आपको अच्छा फल मिल जाएगा, ये नहीं हो सकता. आपके लिए क्या कर्म है ये आपका धर्मशास्त्र आपको बतलाएगा, वो कर्म करने पर ही आपको अच्छा फल मिलेगा. इसमें जिसको बंधन लगता हो, इसमें जिसको अपमान लगता हो, इसमें जिसको धर्मशास्त्र के प्रति द्वेष उत्पन्न होता हो, मेरे दृष्टि से वे गलती पर हैं, वे भूल कर रहे हैं. क्योंकि अगर वैद्य के नाते फिर मैं एक उदाहरण दूंगा, मेरे पास चार रोगी आते हूँ, एक को मैं गोली देता हूँ, एक को काढ़ा देता हूँ, एक को मैं कड़वी दवा देता हूँ, एक को मैं चाशने की केवल पड़ा जैसी मीठी चीज दे देता हूँ. अगर जब तक मेरी नीयत साफ है कि चारों के रोग दूर करने के लिए मैं प्रयत्न कर रहा हूँ, जिसका रोग गोली से दूर होगा उसको गोली देता हूँ, जिसका काढ़े से होगा उसको काढ़ा देता हूँ, जिसको च्यवनप्राश से होगा उसको च्यवनप्राश देता हूँ, जब तक मेरी नीयत साफ है, मैं सबको अच्छा करना चाहता हूँ, तब तक आप मुझ पर पक्षपात का आरोप नहीं लगा सकते कि उसको आपने चाशन दिया और मुझको काढ़ा क्यों दे रहे हैं. मेरी नियत खराब हो तो आप दोष लगा सकते हैं, धर्मशास्त्र या ईश्वर की नियत में हम कोई खराबी नहीं मान सकते। इसलिए किसका कल्याण किस कर्म से होगा ये ईश्वर और उनके आप ऋषियों ने जो हमें बताया है उस पर विश्वास करने से ही हमारा कल्याण हो सकता है। मनमाना हम कुछ कर्म करके ये चाहें कि हमारा कल्याण हो जाएगा तो वैसे ही होगा कि आप एक ऐसा हॉस्पिटल खोल दीजिए, सब दवाइयां पड़ी हैं, रोगी आए कोई भी दवा ले और चला जाए, क्या परिस्थिति होगी आप सोच लीजिए। प्रश्न हो गया माने आप मेरे नहीं पूछ रहे, मैं उस कर्म का जी
इस प्रश्न का उत्तर मैं देने को तैयार हूँ, उसके बारे में एक ही ध्यान दूंगा कि क्या आपने मेरे बारे में जान रखा है कि मैं कौन सा कर्म करता हूँ या नहीं करता। दूसरा ये कि ये जानने मान लीजिए एक बात मैं बता दूं, अगर मैं उन कर्मों को ठीक से कर रहा हूँ तो मेरा कल्याण होगा, अगर मैं उन कर्मों को ठीक से नहीं कर रहा हूँ तो मेरा अकल्याण होगा। इससे ज्यादा जानकर आप या ये सभा क्या करेगी? वैसे मैं बता दूं हम लोग आस्तिक एक मिनट केवल आस्तिक होने का दावा करते हैं, हम ये क्लेम करते हैं कि हम धर्मशास्त्रों के एक एक अक्षर पर विश्वास करते हैं और अधिक से अधिक पालन करने का प्रयत्न करते हैं। 70% पालन करने का दावा मैं समझता हूँ इस युग में कोई नहीं कर सकता, पर मैं व्यक्तिगत रूप से अधिक पालन करने का प्रयत्न करता हूँ ये आश्वासन आपको देना चाहता हूँ। ब्राह्मण के धर्म है यज्ञ करना, यज्ञ कराना, अध्ययन करना, अध्यापन करना, दान और प्रतिग्रह, छह कर्म जो ब्राह्मण के बताए गए हैं उन सबको मैं अपनी ओर से अधिक प्रयत्न करके कर रहा हूँ, ये मैं आपको विश्वास दिला देता हूँ। पर यदि मैं नहीं कर रहा हूँ तो मेरा दोष है, हिंदू धर्म शास्त्र का नहीं, इसका फल मुझे मिलेगा, हिंदू धर्म शास्त्र को नहीं और किसी को नहीं। मैं समझता हूँ इतने से आपको संतोष होना चाहिए।
दिस इज पॉजिटिवली द लास्ट
टू डॉक्टर जाकिर नाइक, इट इज बीन कोटेड बाय तस्लीमा नसरी एज यू सेड दैट वुमेन इज योर टिल्ट, यू मे गो एज यू लाइक, डू यू लाइक टू हैव गिव एनी कमेंट ऑन दिस? थैंक यू।
आई डू अग्री दैट तस्लीमा नसरी एंड आई हैव रेड द कॉन्ट्रोवर्सियल कॉलम इन विच शी हैज मेंशनड दैट इन द कुरान इट इज मेंशनड दैट the woman at the tilt, sorry, it is not the tilt, she has not mentioned that, that's what the Quran mentioned. She has mentioned that for the husband, the woman is the farmland, not the tilt. The Quran mentions the tilt, but it is approximately the same meaning. She has mentioned that it is mentioned in the Quran, she does not give the reference, that for the husband, the wife is the farmland and you can approach them when you like. Along with that, she has said that the women are considered as properties. And she quotes the Quran and saying Surah Imran, that the woman, the gold, everything are possession. The woman, the children, the gold and horses are the possession. Again, she is misquoting. She did not give the complete quotation. She was referring to Surah Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 14, which says that the woman and sons, and the gold and silver, and the horses branded for excellence, and the farmland are possessions which a man is proud of. Which man is not proud of a good wife? Quran says woman, including wife and daughters and son. Which father is not proud of his son? Which husband should not be proud of his wife? And which wife should not be proud of the husband if he's good? So where is Quran talking that as though they're properties? And regarding the first question, that Quran mentions that the women are as farmland, she does not give the quotation. Where are you going to find in the full Quran, where does she mention, where is it mentioned in the Quran that wives are considered as farmland? She is referring to Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 23. But for the exact answer, you'll have to refer to the previous verse, Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 222, and then come to 223. Verse number 222 quotes that when they ask thee concerning menstrual period, I'm quoting the Quran, you can check it up, Surah Baqarah chapter number 2 verse number 222, when they ask thee concerning menstrual period, tell them it's a hurt and pollution, so do not approach your wife during the period, approach them after they're clean. And any doctor will tell you that if you have intercourse during menstrual period, it will hurt the wife, and besides that it will cause certain diseases. It will be harmful for the wife as well as for the husband. So Quran is very scientifically based, telling do not approach your wife when during the menstrual courses. And then the verse continues, the next verse, Surah Baqarah chapter number 2 verse number 223 says that your wives are like the tilth. Approach your tilth when you like, and approach them in the way Allah has ordained you. Quran is saying don't approach in the time of the menstrual period, otherwise you have to be good to them whenever like, you can approach them whenever they like, they can approach you. So what's the harm in that? She misquotes as though women are like property. This verse is linked with the earlier verse talking about should wives be approached during menstrual period, and the Quran says no, it's a hurt and pollution for both. Hope that answers the question better.
Friend, we had a very interesting... Oh, I think we had enough. I think we should stop now.
He has said that if anybody follows secularism, there will be a problem. He is representing Sanatan Dham. That means he wants to say Sanatan Dham by the very nature is fundamentalist.
No, I can't allow this question because it's already way past time. So we all
Please repeat your question.
If you follow secularism, you won't be able to solve any problem. That means you are representing Sanatan Dham. That means with the opinion or the view of Sanatan Dham, you want to say that by the very nature, Sanatan Dham is fundamentalist. That means you want to go against secularism. Then how can you blame Muslim fundamentalism?
There are three parts of this question. Firstly,
2 minutes per part.
All right. 2 minutes per part. Thank you. I thought 2 minutes for the whole question. Firstly, the secularism, the anti-word for secularism is not fundamentalism. The anti-word for secularism is theism. To believe in God, to believe in the world hereafter, to believe in the principle that whatever we are doing here, we have to answer somewhere. This is the principle against the secularism. So if we accept this principle, there will be a solution for all problems. If you don't accept this thing, the problems will not be solved. I never said that fundamentalism is the solution for all the questions. Part one. Part two, I never criticized the Muslim fundamentalism in the way it's being done. If Dr. Zakir Naik is correct, the way in which he put the principles, that fundamentalism means that we should have faith and we should have knowledge of the fundamental principles of Islam and we should follow and practice it, then I 101% agree with him. This type of fundamentalism is always welcome. The unfortunate part is that many times every good thing is being misused. We should always know what is being misused. Whether Islam is misused, fundamentalism of Islam is being misused, or it is whether it is used properly or it is being misused. Anything can, even God can be misused. Even God can be misused. So the responsibility is of the person who is misusing the fundamentalism or misusing the religion. It's not the religion which is a block. It's not the fundamentalism in this definition which is a block. It is the misuse of religion, and misuse of what will not be blocked. Misuse of democracy, you are knowing what is happening. Misuse of secularism, you are knowing what is happening. And what was the third part of your question? Is it covered? Are you satisfied?
Yes. We are all...
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming for this program. In case any of you all have any specific questions to ask any of the speakers, you are free to let this program end, because I think everyone wants to go home.
I wanted to tell you something.
Oh, very good. Thank you very much for attending.